The other poem, the one that I've been hung up on, which I wrote after that. It's called Life at War.
This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, August 28th, 2008. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, a fight about war poetry. In the 1960s, the Vietnam War was a huge preoccupation for a lot of American poets. They almost universally opposed the war. At least I can't think of a single poet who openly supported it. But even when they were on the same side politically, poets didn't always agree aesthetically. Robert Duncan, for example, couldn't stand how his good friend Denise Levertov wrote about the war. On our website, poetryfoundation.org, there's an intriguing essay by Angie Malenko called Craft Versus Conscience, How the Vietnam War Destroyed the Friendship Between Robert Duncan and Denise Levertov. For this podcast, we're going to look at the craft and conscience of one well-known war poem by Denise Levertov with Peter O'Leary, a poet and scholar who has written a book about Robert Duncan. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Curtis.
So this is what I know about Denise Levertov and Robert Duncan. They struck up a friendship in the 1950s, long before the Vietnam War really got going. And it was a literary friendship. Duncan was gay. Levertov was married and trying to Americanize herself after growing up in England. And they developed this really intense literary friendship. Where did they see in each other?
I think in the case of Levertov, she was kind of blindsided by Duncan, who he wrote her a letter out of the blue, which was actually a poem. It was kind of a praise poem that he intended to really be complimenting her, but it was worded mysteriously enough that she actually thought he was insulting her. And she wrote back to him saying, is this the Robert Duncan? Because I think your work is great, and I can't stand the thought that you don't like me. He was clearly the mentor, and I think he was able in some ways to kind of take advantage of the fact that she admired him so profoundly.
Duncan didn't like Levertov's increasing political activism. She and her husband were political activists, both in literary activists and political activists, marching in the streets and organizing and things like that. What did Duncan have against Levertov's activism?
What Duncan was bothered by was not Levertov's activism. He felt her poetry had become reactive rather than productive.
Well, let's hear one of Levertov's poems that Duncan specifically objected to, and is one of the poems, I think, that tanked their friendship ultimately. Here's Denise Levertov reading Life at War, which was written probably in 1965 or 1966.
The disasters numb within us, caught in the chest, rolling in the brain like pebbles. The feeling resembles lumps of raw dough weighing down a child's stomach on baking day. Or Rilke said it, my heart, could I say of it, it overflows with bitterness, but no, as though its contents were simply balled into formless lumps, thus do I carry it about.
Now, she's responding directly to the feeling of being at war, even though she was on the home front. She was in the United States.
Definitely, and it's kind of interesting to see that there's this maternal scene that's being invoked. You know, baking, but eating dough before it's been cooked.
Yeah.
It's an interesting kind of thing you'd never find in a Duncan poem.
The same war continues. We have breathed the grits of it in all our lives. Our lungs are pocked with it. The mucous membrane of our dreams coated with it. The imagination filmed over with the gray filth of it. The knowledge that humankind, delicate man, whose flesh responds to a caress, whose eyes are flowers that perceive the stars, whose music excels the music of birds, whose laughter matches the laughter of dogs, whose understanding manifests designs fairer than the spider's most intricate web, still turns without surprise, with mere regret, to the scheduled breaking open of breasts whose milk runs out over the entrails of still alive babies. Transformation of witnessing eyes to pulp fragments. Implosion of skinned penises into carcass gullies.
So she begins with very domestic imagery, and then she goes to babies who are being totally destroyed and mutilated by war. But then this weird images of the penis, the flayed penises, crops up. What is that?
That was one of the images that Duncan really objected to, I think, when she wrote this poem. I think because he felt that its appearance was gratuitous at that point.
Yeah. Well, let's continue with the poem. It has a few more stanzas, and she ends with a homily about the virtues of peace.
Yes.
We are the humans, men who can make. Being so lovely, we have believed one another, the mirror image of a God we felt as good, who do these acts, who convince ourselves it is necessary. These acts are done to our own flesh. Burned human flesh is smelling in Vietnam as I write.
Interestingly, she's implicating herself, seemingly, in this, the atrocities, right?
Yeah, she's not.
I think, is genuine. I don't think it's. Duncan accused her of being haughty. That is, he felt that she was standing apart from the accusations she seemed to be making, but I think it comes through as genuine. She really feels like she's part of the machine that made this war happen.
Now here's that homily at the very end.
Yes, this is the knowledge that jostles for space in our bodies, along with all we go on knowing of joy, of love. Our nerve filaments twitch with its presence, day and night. Nothing we say has not the husky phlegm of it in the saying. Nothing we do has the quickness, the sureness, the deep intelligence living at peace would have.
That was Denise Levertov reading Life at War. The recording comes from the amazing Dial a Poem project that John Giorno started in the 1960s and can now be heard on UbuWeb. Life at War was originally collected in Levertov's book To Stay Alive, published by New Directions. So, Peter, Duncan didn't like this poem. He suggested that Levertov was projecting her own personal problems onto the war.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you buy that?
Well, it's kind of strange because Duncan himself makes a similar claim about war. At one point, he writes, "The line of the poem itself confronts me, where I must volunteer my love. And I saw, long before this war, wrath move in the music that troubles me." So he's making a claim that there's this interior conflict, which is somehow also a cosmic conflict. And there's this kind of telescoping into this cosmic reality with war, but he also has a microscope that's turned in on his own experience of the war. And unlike Levertov, who took a kind of active stance, I mean, she really put herself into the anti-war movement.
Yeah.
Duncan and his partner Jess Collins, the painter, they were both a little bit more removed from that. And she talked about how Duncan and Jess made this decision to wear black armbands through the course of the conflict. And she
probably didn't think that was enough.
She kind of pities them for thinking that this was a significant gesture, rather than she herself had been involved in anti-war activities of students at Berkeley.
Her husband was arrested and put on trial in a famous trial in Boston, supporting anti-draft resistors.
You know. So I think she felt that Duncan didn't register that these were real visceral problems that she was addressing in her poem. And I think that comes through in, you know, all of the language about the bodily functions, the phlegm, and, you know, the flayed penises are admittedly graphic, but there's nothing sweet about burning flesh.
Peter, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Curtis. It's been my pleasure.
Peter O'Leary's latest book of poems is Depth Theology. You can check out some of his articles on our website, where you can also read Angie Malenko's article, Craft vs. Conscience, How the Vietnam War Destroyed the Friendship Between Robert Duncan and Denise Levertov, all on poetryfoundation.org. We always want to hear what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.